Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. We're so delighted to have you on board with us today as once again we face the issues. I pray that you tune in each day. And let me encourage you to invite others to tune in along with you. And also, may I remind you once again that we do this broadcast each day, praying that it will be that which will inform, edify, encourage, and challenge us, especially as conservatives and Christians, that we would be involved in the process and not just sit back idly and say, let George do it, someone else do it. We need to be involved in the process. As Christians, we're to be salt and light. That means we're to be out of the closet, out from under the bed, and in the world. That means that we are to illumine the dark world in which we're living in with the truth of the Word of God. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That's what he said to his disciples in John 8:31-32. He was challenging them to stay in the word, continue in the word, constantly be in the word, always be in the word, reading the word, studying the word, meditating on the word, hiding the word in our hearts so we might not sin against God, allowing the word of God to be the lamp unto our feet and the light unto our pathway, allowing the word of God to develop and direct our lives that we will know the truth, and then the truth makes us free. And then it's Jesus that said in John 14:6, I am truth. I am truth. And then he says further in John 17:17, thy word is truth. Truth is something that is not sought today. Truth is something that's elusive, it seems, today, especially when we talk about the coronavirus and the pandemic that's been released on the world. As we're finding today, and as I have been saying for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks upon weeks now, that it is not what we're told that it is, did not originate as we were told that it did, et cetera, et cetera. We're going to be talking about that today. George Orwell, a number of years ago, said the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And we're discovering that to be an absolute de facto case in society today. But I am prone to believe what Jan Hus said, that 15th century church reformer and theologian. Jan Hus said, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. May I make this our challenge to you as you listen, that you will seek the truth. And seeking the truth, ladies and gentlemen, does not include following what's said on the Communist Network News. Seeking the truth does not mean that you go to MSNBC to find out what is said. Seeking the truth doesn't mean that you listen to what is said by the anchors and those hawkers of deceptive numbers in relationship to the coronavirus. Seeking the truth means going back to the source, listening to facts and looking at the details and learning the truth. We need to learn the truth of what's happening today in our society. We need to love the truth and tell the truth. And ladies and gentlemen, most of all, we need to defend the truth, even to death. That means standing, even if we have to stand alone, and stand on the truth of the Word of God, the truth of what we see taking place in society today. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, the telephone number that gets you through to our studios and right to our microphones so that we can have the dialogue and discussion together, that we can listen to your questions and comments, and we entertain those, encourage those, and invite those each and every broadcast. You can dial 904-831-0917. If you're out of the area code, it's 904-831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios and right to our microphones. We'd love to hear from you, especially in this very, very, very imperative, important, challenging subject that we're discussing today. Let me remind you that this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries a full line of equipment for the homeowners with brands like Honda and Echo. They carry the full line of landscape lawn care power equipment for all of the professionals in our area, as well as the hurricane preparedness equipment with a full line of Honda generators. Tools for Time has a full staff of knowledgeable people to answer all of your questions about the landscape power equipment or hurricane backup equipment that would be needed. Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. It's right where you find the gigantic flagpole with the Old Glory with the U.S. flag flying 24/7. Find the flagpole at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. Right at the base of that flagpole, you'll find Tools for Time, toolsfortime.com, toolsfortime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I am prayerful that you are listening each and every day. And for weeks and weeks and weeks now, we have been discussing the nuances of the coronavirus and the dangers of it. We've been talking specifically about the encroachment on our religious liberties and the cancellation of our Bill of Rights by governors and mayors across America. And they're trouncing on, trampling underfoot the Bill of Rights and that which we have in our liberties. Very little has been said about it. Very little challenges come about as a result of it until the past few days, past several days, in fact. Attorney General William Barr has jumped into two or three of the cases and assisting the people as they filed suit against their municipalities and the mayors and the governors, where they tried to shut down churches, tried to shut down even drive-through churches, where you drive up and turn on their short-wave FM radio station so they can listen to their pastor preach, where pastors have been bold enough to stand on the rooftop of their churches and preach to parking lots of cars with their members and others listening. Where there have been innovative approaches taken to worship and getting folks to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, where that's taken place across America to try to at least continue to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, I've said for weeks and weeks and infinitum, I've made the statement, I don't believe it is legal, I don't believe it is constitutional for a governor or a mayor to be able to say that a church is not an essential service and shut down the churches. I've been opposed to it. I've stood against it. I've stated that over and over again. And every day, every 24 hours, I'm finding more and more of what those that are constitutionalists, those that are in the position to say so, as with Attorney General William Barr, he is saying the very same thing. But yet we find wannabe dictators that have the elected position of being called mayors and governors, these wannabe judicial advocates and dictators for things that they do not know, do not understand, evidently or recognize, where they're trying to impose unconstitutional, illegal rules and regulations and guidelines upon the citizens. But ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be talking about today the coronavirus, the cover-up, and the Constitution. You might say, how do all those things fit together? Well, number one, we're talking about the coronavirus and what's happened with the national shutdown, with the Gestapo approach against churches in particular, while liquor stores and some of the abortion clinics across America all remain open. Many of your big box, if not all of your big box stores are open. And now some of the governors are restricting that, saying that the big box stores can remain open, but you cannot buy anything other than essentials. And so who's going to make the determination? Who's going to be the judicial call as to when you walk into Walmart's what is considered essential for you or essential for me, when what is essential for you and essential for me may be totally different? But the government now is wanting to determine what is essential. They've already determined that churches are not essential across America. So we're talking about the coronavirus and what's happening. But we're going to talk extensively today, ladies and gentlemen, about the cover-up. And there has been a cover-up about the coronavirus. I've said that for weeks and weeks and weeks now. For the past couple of months, I made a statement that there's a cover-up that's taken place. that somehow, some way, the real truth has not come out, and that as a result of that, we're suffering the consequences of the lie that's been perpetrated upon Americans. And as one writer put it, where our president, President Donald J. Trump, has been duped by the scientists and the medical talking heads, and he has believed that lie, and as a result of that, he's followed up on the shutting down of America. So we're talking about the coronavirus, the cover-up, and we're talking about the Constitution. How does all that we see, all that we're hearing, all that's taking place from the governors and the wannabe dictator mayors across America, and we've got those in every state and just about every county in America today. There's some few, minuscule number, that's not taking the hard-nosed, harsh approach of just shutting things down and trying to destroy the economy, to destroy lives, and destroy churches across our nation. But nevertheless, for the most part, they have. But there's the little, I want to start out with a little bitty nugget, a little nugget of something that's good in the midst of all of the calamity. In the midst of the chaos and the confusion, the calamity and the constitutional crisis because of the coronavirus shutdown, yet we find, ladies and gentlemen, some good news. A little nugget of it that's not been reported. Some of the landlords across America are saying that there is no need to collect rent for at least the month of April. And some of them are literally doing that. They're telling their tenants that you don't have to pay for the month of April. And that's all well and good if a landlord can afford it. Most landlords have major mortgages on those properties that they're renting out. And most of them cannot afford to go a month without collecting the rent on those properties. But evidently there's been one that could do so. In fact, it is not reported at all. I don't know of anything that's been on the national news in relationship to it. Here's the article. Landlord tells woman not to worry about rent, then surprises her with groceries for the entire family placed on her porch. Dateline April the 14th. The spread of the coronavirus has upset many lives and livelihoods. Many people were already stretching to get by, and their income depended on business going on as usual. But much of that has changed, leaving many in the lurch. Added to the financial instability is the fact that even if you do have money to pay for food, just shopping is risky. In fact, if I can interject this, just shopping is forbidden in most of the cities and counties across America today. This article further says, thankfully realizing that the next few months might pose a problem for renters, especially those tied to the food industry, some landlords have waived rent or given their renters an extension of time. Nathan Nichols is one of those landlords. Not only did he give his renters a break, he encouraged other landlords to do the same also. Because I have the good fortune, he says, of being able to afford it and privilege of being in owner's class, I just let them know that I would not be collecting rent for April. But one landlord, known only by the name of Allen, has gone beyond just suspending the rent for the month of April. Allen, a landlord from Michigan, refrained from collecting the rent for April from Christina Marie, a mother of four. The man not only refused to take the rent, but also surprised the woman with groceries for her entire family. Quote, from vegetables to diapers for the kids, Allen did not forget anything. Unable to believe what the landlord had done, she wrote, for him to do this for a family, my heart is touched. God bless him, she said. So there is a little dab of good, as you would call it, even in the midst of all of the horrific things that are taking place in America today because of the coronavirus. But what about the coronavirus? Our politicians are carrying out what I call and what many others have come to the point of calling. You might recall, if you go back and recall some of the broadcasts that we've done on Let's Face the Issues, from the very beginning, I have said what our governors are doing and what the mayors are doing across America, what they're doing is absolutely on the face of it against our Constitution, and especially that portion of our Constitution called the Bill of Rights. It counters what is found in our Bill of Rights, first and foremost, when it comes to that of restricting movement of people, when it comes to that of restricting what you can buy or what you can sell, or where you can go, restricting the movement. And most especially, ladies and gentlemen, where our First Amendment says Congress shall make no laws respecting the establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Now, to tell a church that you've got to have drive-by preaching, where you have to get up on the roof of your building and preach, where you've got to have your congregation sitting in cars with the windows rolled up, where you have state police or city police or the county police department going out writing $500 tickets if you're sitting in your car listening to a message by way of megaphone, loudspeaker, or via a closed-circuit radio broadcast. That's not worship based on our Constitution, the free exercise of our worship, our religion. Ladies and gentlemen, it's all as a result of the action of these political thugs, as I've called them. They are political thugs, political hacks, political wannabes, those that have made the determination that if the mayor down the street did this, then I'm going to one-up him, and I'm going to shut society down a little more. If the governor in that particular state made a decision, I'm going to do a little more than that. In fact, Governor Northam up in Virginia has gone absolutely bonkers. He's nuts. He's a fruitcake. He needs to be removed from office. The mayor in Michigan, the governor in Michigan needs to be removed from office. She is a thug. She is a wannabe dictator. And I don't have time to go into all of what each of those have done. But the governor, for example, Northam in Virginia, they have passed some 200-plus pieces of legislation in the quiet of night when nobody could gather to object, where nobody could gather and be in a group meeting, where they were sequestered in their homes and forbidden to leave. In that setting, in that context, the governor of Virginia has done some grossly illegal acts, passing some bills, many of those bills, about 100 of those bills, dealing with guns and ammunition. He's literally stripping the Virginians of their right to keep and bear arms, while the citizens cannot come in groups and protest before the governor's thugs and what they're passing in the dominating legislative session, dominated by the socialist, Marxist, communist Democrats in Virginia. I am saddened to see what is taking place. But ladies and gentlemen, what about the coronavirus? How did it originate? Where did it come from? I have touched on it over and over again, and I want to have an extensive overview and an elongated monologue getting to the point of where we want to go today. You're still welcome to call. You can call 831-0917, 831-0917. Jump in at any point in time during the course of this monologue, extended monologue today, and then the wrap-up of what we want to say. But what do we know about what has been taking place with the attempt to enforce these rules and regulations? I'm just going to hit the high spots of what's happened across America with the infringement of our religious liberties and the freedoms in America. For example, 32 police officers circled a group of parents on a cul-de-sac in a subdivision because they were celebrating the birthday of a one-year-old child. 32 police officers with batons in hand, with weapons on their belt, with a uniform and badge on, which is a police state threat to the citizens. Pastors are being arrested for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Pastors being ticketed are forbidden. Churches where the governors and our mayors have threatened to, quote, board up the doors of your churches, where the governor of New York said that he would close all churches and synagogues permanently if they did not obey his orders. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, let me say one time, and I'll say it many times during the course of this broadcast, I've said it over and over and over again, those rules and regulations that are passed by the governors and the mayors of our cities, they are suggestions. They're not laws. Laws in America can only be passed in legislative sessions where there's open dialogue, open debate, and a vote for something to become law. And then that rule, regulation, guideline, that bill, then must be signed by a governor and or by the president for it to become law in a nation or in a state. It can't be done by fiat by a governor or a mayor and it be constitutional, will not, cannot pass constitutional muster. But pastors being arrested, $500 tickets being given to worshipers just for sitting in your car while listening to your pastor preach, $1,000 tickets being given to anyone that's walking outside without a mask in Laredo, Texas, as I speak. Restrictions on the sales of guns and ammo in Washington State and Colorado, in several of the northeastern states, by fiat, they've simply said that because of the coronavirus, that we have the right, the privilege, and the opportunity, so therefore we're going to restrict guns and ammo, while, ladies and gentlemen, at the same time leaving abortion clinics open, while leaving some of the gambling houses open, while leaving all of the liquor stores across America are left open, and yet churches are to be closed, businesses are to be shuttered, and we're told what we can and cannot buy, and it must be that which is essential. Restriction on the sales of guns and ammo. Threats to shut down churches and synagogues in New York by the governor if they do not obey his directives. Fines of $2,500 for just going out of your home. In fact, there's several of the municipalities across America, as I speak, they made the determination that not only you can't have large gatherings, not only you cannot be closer than 6 foot apart, but also, ladies and gentlemen, they made a fiat decision that if you even go out of your house, you are quarantined in your house, or there's a $2,500 fine. Now, someone, someplace, somewhere, if you're a constitutional lawyer, you call me and tell me how that meets muster of the Constitution. If, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening and you believe that is all right and that should be the norm, you call me and tell me why you believe it's okay to traverse and to cancel and eviscerate and shred a Bill of Rights just to supposedly protect you or me from the so-called coronavirus that's supposed to be so deadly. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at a chart from January the 1st to April the 1st. Now, that's been 14 days ago. From January the 1st through April the 1st, it's today's the beyond April the 1st by several days. Let me give you some numbers on a global basis. The COVID-19, as of through April the 1st, this year, from January the 1st to April the 1st, 46,434 deaths. Seasonal flu on a global basis, 121,993 deaths. Malaria on a global basis, 246,121. Suicide on a global basis, 269,076 people. Traffic fatalities, 338,715. HIV and AIDS, 421,808 deaths. Alcohol, 627,571 deaths. Smoking-related deaths around the globe, 1,254,352 people. Cancer, 2,060,730 people. Hunger, 2,806,314 deaths. Ladies and gentlemen, around the globe, murder by way of abortion, 10,665,130 deaths. So tell me now, tell me again, ladies and gentlemen, why it is that we should be sequestered in our homes, as Attorney General William Barr said, hiding under the beds. Why should we be sequestered, hiding under the beds or hiding in the closet because of the coronavirus, when we have not had as many deaths, even to date? I believe beyond the April the 1st date that this chart shows, I believe we've had some, I believe it's about 68,000, maybe it's reached 70,000 now, deaths on a global basis because of the coronavirus. So tell me how that matches the other statistical data of the deaths around the globe, and tell me why we should shut America down as a result of it. I'll tell you why. I'll interject this ahead of time. I will tell you it's because the so-called scientists, the ones that want to see America a third-rate country, the ones that want to see a global governance, the ones that are the globalists, the ones that are the one world advocates, those that are wanting to control the population, they have formulated a number, and they said that was where we were going. They formulated a number out of fiat, out of whole cloth. They said that 2,200,000 people, that is 2.2 million people in America, would die unless we shut America down. Unless we quarantined or sequestered everyone in America, keep you in your house, keep you under the bed, keep you hidden in the closet, unless we do that, 2.2 million people would die. That was foisted upon our president, and he's quoted that number several dozens of times from his speaker stand, that that's the reason he's done what he's doing. Those globalists, those population controlists like Bill Gates and Dr. Fauci and Dr. Birx, they're laughing up their sleeve that they have pulled the wool over the eyes of the president and the leadership in America, and thus they've closed down the entire economy in the United States of America because they want to see America be simply a global part of the globalist economy rather than being a sovereign nation. That's why. Therefore, as a result of that, churches are closed and the mayor's and governor's orders, and they are absolutely, they are rules and regulations that are suggestions. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tuck this in. When the Supreme Court makes a ruling, it's called a Supreme Court opinion. Hear me. You can Google it. You can challenge it. You can look it up. Supreme Court does not make laws. I'm using this as an example of what the governors and mayors are doing. Governors and mayors cannot make laws. Only the legislative bodies can make laws. The Supreme Court does not make laws. It renders an opinion. And did you know this? Any president in history can take a Supreme Court opinion and say, thank you for your opinion. We simply do not want to adhere to it. We will reject it out of hand. The president of the United States of America, any past or present president, any future president, has that right. The Supreme Court does not make legislation. They simply issue opinions, the opinion of the Supreme Court. Now, unfortunately, as a nation, we've been dumb enough to simply acquiesce and say yes to any Supreme Court ruling, and therefore we're in the quagmire that we're in today with so many things that we're faced with, abortion being one of them. But ladies and gentlemen, we're supposed to be quarantined in our home, ordered not to go out except for essentials. And the churches have not been viewed as essential in this whole makeup going across America today. Churches are deemed as non-essential. Our Bill of Rights have been eviscerated, shredded right before our eyes. And the thing that is so saddening to me, ladies and gentlemen, is that Christians and conservatives have been silent for this long. Now, I am delighted to see that in New Jersey, that in Michigan, we're finding thousands upon thousands upon thousands of citizens that's willing to go out and risk their future by lining up in front of the Capitol buildings, blowing their horns and having signs saying that we resent it, we reject it, we want to go back to work, we're refusing to obey your suggestions anymore. And they are suggestions. So, ladies and gentlemen, just how did we get to this place? How did we get to the point today that we're willing to sacrifice and surrender our Bill of Rights, our religious liberties, our freedom of worship, our freedom of speech, our freedom to congregate, our freedom of movement, our freedom to drive across state lines? When did we surrender that, and why did we surrender it? I'm concerned, ladies and gentlemen, because if we can use the coronavirus now as a rationale for squelching our rights, for eviscerating our Bill of Rights, for absolutely confiscating our Constitution, then what will be the next crisis that will escalate it even further, and they will go back to a precedence, and they will say, well, the Christians were willing to speak from their rooftops, the Christians were willing to have worship services from their automobiles, the Christians were willing to hide in their closets and not stand up, speak up, be heard, and be seen. They will use what we're doing today, ladies and gentlemen, be used in the future for any perceived or real crisis that might come down the pike. Here, listen to me. Hear me. Listen well. This is what I'm saying. We're watching the precedents being set, and it's all having been done as a result of the coronavirus and the cover-up as a result of that virus. The cover-up, yes, a real, live, absolute cover-up has taken place. And we've used that cover-up, and again, the Bill Gates folks behind the scenes, it's since 2015 been talking about a pandemic that the next president would face, talking about that, orchestrating on how to respond, what to do, and what to carry out, what kind of sequestration things to be done in order to protect the citizens supposedly from a cover-up. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have about a one-minute break for the top of the hour news. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.